looked at how have you grown individually. And there was some encouraging feedback. There was some encouraging things that we've already seen as some people have looked at the data and as they've analyzed a little bit of the data. One thing that we saw that out of those who responded, I was just so encouraged by this, 86% of the people that responded have feel equipped to pray. Feel equipped, like they are prepared to pray when they're asked to pray. Here's another one. 80% of the people read scripture daily or weekly. I love that. I love that. We also saw that there's some cool connections between how often people pray. Like the more people pray, their love for one another increases. And there's some cool connections on that last week. And even the more prayer and more love that people have all comes from the more they read Scripture. And so it was interesting just to get some feedback last week to see some of the ways that God is at work and what He even uses. Scripture, prayer, community, I think is what we're going to find out as well. But I'll share more even in a little bit, more of the feedback and comments. But it just was so, so encouraging to hear the feedback last week on how you have grown and how we are growing together. But I want to show you one picture up on the screen. And if you were here last Sunday, you saw this moment up on the screen because we shared about it last week. And here's a moment last week where the man with the dark hair, his name's Isaac. Isaac giving his life to Jesus, making Jesus the Lord of his life. And this is the very reason that Jesus came. In Luke 5, it says, Jesus says, I have come to seek and save the lost. I have come to call sinners to repent. And there in that context, Jesus is sitting with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus is saying, this is the reason that I have come, to call sinners to repentance. And there was another crowd looking on with their arms folded, kind of in disgust. And there are the Pharisees. And they didn't realize, sadly, that they too themselves were sinners in need of repentance. But they had put so much pride in their works. But like in this moment that we see last week, in this moment, all of heaven was rejoicing. All of heaven was rejoicing because one sinner had turned and given his life to the Lord, confessed Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Now, I want to focus on this moment. You see this moment that happened last week. But this week, what I want you to see is that while there was a moment here that happened last week, there was actually a movement that happened long before. I want to unpack this picture a little bit, and you can always see, like, okay, there's a moment in time in which something happens. But you can easily miss all the movement that happened to get to that moment. See, in this picture, you see another man with his hood on named Jesse. Jesse was sitting right here. Where's Jesse today? There you are. So you're sitting like a row up front. And last week when we got to the sharing time and the testimony time, Isaac wanted to share. Isaac wanted to tell about what the love that he had experienced and the love that he had known for people in this room. But he was too nervous to do it. And so Jesse raised his hand for Isaac. And then Isaac went on to share how he was an atheist, but through the love of many in this room, God had been working in his life. And we celebrate like God working through your love. And after he shared, when people grouped up, Jesse said, hey, have you ever prayed to receive Christ? Have you ever confessed him as Lord and Savior? And he says, no, he hadn't. And so we brought him up here and we prayed. I mean, that's an amazing friend. That's an amazing friend to raise a hand and to say, you know what? Like, I'll raise my hand for you so you can share the testimony, and then let's come up and share and pray together. But you think about Jesse. You think about Isaac. Okay, this is how Isaac got here, and Jesse was a part of that. But let's unpack this a little bit more. How did Jesse get here? Jesse's been here a couple weeks, a while. Jesse's been a part of a men's group and part of a church. But how did Jesse get here? I learned this on Wednesday night. Jesse was serving some time down in the Allegan County Jail. He was about to be released when another man, who I'll share about in a little bit, Michael Penn Davies, told him about Chester Ray, a recovery house. And he helped him get in there because Michael himself was helped to get in there. He also told Jesse about a man who came on Thursdays to teach a finance class. And said, you got to connect with this man who comes on Thursdays because he's connected to a powerful men's group and amazing church. And Jesse did that. And he's been at men's Bible study, coming here, and God has been at work in his life. It was work in his life in prison, but also work now. So Jesse connects with Michael. Connects with Michael down at Allegan County Jail. Let's unpack the story a little bit more and see the movement of God. See, Michael was sent to the Allegan County Jail. Sent because of some life circumstances. But he went there, and as we pray for Michael, we're saying, you're being sent there for a very specific reason. You're being sent there, and Michael took that seriously. And so when he came across Jesse, he spoke boldly into his life and said, hey, you need to go to Chester Ray. And actually, because Michael was helped to get into Chester Ray, Michael helped Jesse get into Chester Ray. Because people who have been helped help others. And Michael was there in Allegan County Jail, being the hands and the feet of Jesus. Wow. But let me back up a little bit. How did Michael get here? How did Michael get be a part of this community? He came to the mission one time. There are a group of men who have been going there for years, but going there with a purpose on Thursday nights, compelled by the love of Jesus, intentionally seeking him, and now built a relationship with Michael. They saw him. They got to know Michael. Met Michael, came to Restoration when we were meeting over at Bethel CRC, got plugged in. But here's the thing, and I want us as a Restoration community to always be honest. Here's the thing, like, Michael drifted for a bit. Michael, even though he was a part of the community, drifted for a bit, fell back away from community, thinking that he could do this by himself. Even though some people reached out, he made some mistakes. But eventually, he came back, was welcomed with open arms. And again, this week, he got released from the Allegan County Jail. He was welcomed with open arms by a group of men that celebrated his birthday and the move that God has been doing in his life. I want you to see this. There was a moment last week where three people were praying and Isaac received Jesus into his life. But the movement that happened, Jesse raising a hand, Jesse connecting with Michael in Allegan County Jail, Michael connecting with a group of us here in this room that are going down to the mission, people investing over and over again, seeds being planted, those seeds being watered, and all of a sudden this movement became a moment where all of a sudden we saw the kingdom of God break in. But never underestimate the movement of God that is constantly going. And sometimes we think, we want this spot, we want this moment up here, but really, in life, our job, your job, my job, is just to constantly plant those seeds, to water those seeds. And God is so faithful to grow those seeds. He's always been faithful. This is what we talked about last week. Look at Philippians 1. Paul is writing a letter to the church in Philippi. Paul is towards the end of his life. And he's saying to this, he's saying he's filled with joy to this community, filled with joy for this community. And he says this at the early on in the letter, he says this, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work, and last week we celebrated and we were grateful in the season of Thanksgiving. We were so grateful that God is a God of new beginnings, that God is a God who starts things. He moves, he pursues, and frankly, that's the story of your life and my life, that God pursued our hearts, that God left the 99 for us, that he chased after us, that he began things in your life and my life, and sometimes they were dramatic beginnings, big moments, but also sometimes there was just consistency of the Lord, walking with us, sending people into our lives. But here's the thing that I want to be thankful for this morning, that he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. We worship a God who is faithful. All throughout the generations, he is faithful. He does what he says he's going to do. In Deuteronomy 7, verses 9 and 10, we're not going to look at it. He says, I am compassionate. I'm slow to anger. I'm abounding in love. I'm a God who keeps his covenant. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. God is so faithful. And if you look back throughout the story of Scripture, it's all about a faithful God who pursued a faithless generation over and over and over again. It was a faithful God in the Garden of Eden who pursued faithless Adam and Eve who disobeyed. It was a faithful God who pursued a faithless people who were in Egypt. And he sent Moses to rescue them. It was a faithful God who pursued a faithless people when they were wandering in the desert, turning their back on the very one that rescued them from Egypt. He raised up Joshua and others to lead them into the promised land. And it was a faithful God who rescued us, the faithless people, by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. All throughout generations, God has been faithful over and over and over again. And in our lives, if we look at our lives, we see that he's there through every high and every low. And any victory that we've had in our lives is all because he is good and he's faithful. I love this verse from Lamentations 3, and this one's up on the screen. This was written by Jeremiah to a community where it lost everything. And there was just destruction all around. And Jeremiah is calling people to do this. Instead of to focus on the bad, focus on the destruction, focus on the sin, it says this: "But this I will call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." I mean, that verse is an amazing declaration of the character of God. Every morning when you wake up, his mercies are new. He's rich in mercy. It's just like he's pouring out abundant mercies and grace and goodness into your life. He never gives up on you. He chases you. He pursues you. But he's also at work constantly in your life. And that's what I want to just focus on just for a few minutes here, is just to be grateful for the growth that he brings in our lives. Because God, it says in Philippians 1:6, it says, "He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it." But what is he completing? What is he doing? What is, like, he started with our lives. He woken us up to his greatness and his glory. What is he doing in our lives? And the Bible is very clear what God is after. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says this: "This is God's will for our lives. This is what he desires. For this is the will of God: your sanctification, your holiness, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one knows how to control his own body in holiness and honor." 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul goes on to say, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." Amen. What God is after in your life and my life is to conform us into the image of Christ. To make us, as we go through life, to make us look more and more like his son. His desire is that we would grow. His goal is growth in our lives. We dedicated Remington and Kai up here this morning. Our goal for their lives, the parents' goal for their lives, is not for them to stay this size and just to stay this young. No, it's to see them grow. To raise them to 18, 19, 20 years old and to kick them out of the basement and to say, "Go, get a job, go work, go do something with your life." The goal is to see them grow and be released out into the world. The thing, too, is like if you're in your life, you want to grow physically. If you want to be healthier, you know, you're going to grow. You're gonna see a trainer. And the goal for seeing a trainer or for seeing somebody is to bring about growth in your life. We see that all in examples all around our lives. We desire growth. And the same is true, more importantly, when it comes to Scripture. God desires growth in your life. He doesn't want you to stay the same. Here's the journey that he has for you in your life. It's from come and see to come and die. Let me explain this a little bit. You look at Jesus' life and how he interacted with the disciples. And people would come to him. He had great invitations. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary. Come to me. Come and see who I am." He would go see the disciples and he would see them fishing. Or maybe even Matthew, the tax collector, at a tax collector booth. And he would come up to these young men and he would say, "Hey, follow me." He would invite them into relationship. To those who were weary and to burden down, he said to them, "Come to me, all who are weary." And frankly, this represents the heart of the Father, because we see this all throughout the Old Testament. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There is this great invitation from the Lord to come to me. Come to me, all who are weary. Come to me. Start this relationship. Come hang out with me. But it doesn't end there. There's always this invitation to come and see, from come and see to come and die, to give up your life. In Luke 9, Jesus says this: "If anybody should come after me, they must deny themselves, pick up their cross and deny themselves." That's the call of all of us, is to deny ourselves, to not seek our own desires, but to even live a life of selfless sacrifice, to serve, to become the least, and to live a life of surrender. I love how Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it. He said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. See, we come and we are loved by the goodness and the grace of Jesus. But then as we walk in our lives, we start to realize pretty early on, there's a lot of self in us that has to go. There's a lot of sin that still needs to go. There's a wrestling, and it doesn't change our identity, but it must change our activity. Because we look at our lives and we're like, wow, I'm living too much for myself. And over the course of our lives, the Holy Spirit is chiseling away at our hearts. And God is using anything and everything to grow us into the likeness of His Son, to be a selfless, sacrificial servant in this world for His glory. But this journey, this growth, is a journey. And it takes time. And the cool thing is all along our lives, we look at how God uses situations. He'll put us in uncomfortable situations. And be like, oh, I got to rely on you. And I'm growing in Christ-likeness as I put in uncomfortable situations where we get into the presence of the Lord. His presence transforms us. And I'm so thankful for the growth that we've seen here in this space, in our lives. And I just wanted to go through a number of the things that people said last week, how they have grown. And really, this is an act of worship. Because you're going to see a number of ways that people have grown and hopefully be inspired to grow yourself, but also, more importantly, to give thanks for all that God has done. And look it up on the screen. These are statements from all of you in this room, people who filled out this survey. Here's how I've grown. I feel conviction for things I did in the past. I was delivered from an active addiction. I have prayed more and more. I trust Him more as my good Father. I am more comfortable sharing my story. I am more open to expressing myself in worship. My spirit has been awakened. I'm seeking God's purpose for my life even as I go through a storm. I'm learning what true forgiveness looks like. Healing is hard, but God is faithful. I join in prayer now. I pray with my voice. That is so cool. I love that people, like, at first I didn't pray. At first I was uncomfortable to pray with others. I join in prayer now. I love the simplicity and the power of that statement. I pray with my voice. I've shared my faith with my coworker. I am growing in hospitality, welcoming others into my home. I have led my team in prayer regularly, and I've shared my faith with a large group of people. Doing life here keeps me growing. The Lord has set me free from addiction to pornography and being a slave to sexual morality. I retain scripture better and can hear the voice of God. I am quicker to pray with others. I have opened my heart like never before. I'm putting to rest the religious voices in my head. I'm sharing my faith regularly with others. I feel a fire in my heart to pursue Jesus. I love that. I look at all of this and I just am blown away. God, you are faithful. God, you are faithful to do what you say you're going to do. You want us to grow in Christ-likeness, and you're going to do that work in us. And over the last year, He has been doing that work in all of you. And all praise and glory is given to Him. So this morning, as we look at this, I think the thing that the temptation that we can fall into is to be like, okay, we've grown. We're good. But the truth is, God wants to grow us all throughout our lives. And too often, we can look in the rearview mirror and be like, yeah, I grew years ago. Or this thing that I did, that was years ago. We look in the rearview mirror. And when I look at Scripture, and I look at this verse, God is going to bring this to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to be faithful all throughout our lives. And the goal is for all throughout our lives to grow in Christ-likeness. So the question that I have for us is, it really begins with this desire for growth, begins with the heart. And I see a heart modeled in Paul at the end of his life in Philippians 3 that is so powerful. And I pray that this is our heart. This is our desire. Because we can look at this passage and we can be like, oh, this is Paul, he was a super Christian. Or we can look at others and say, like, oh, they're in Scripture, they were super Christians. But I look at this and I'm like, this needs to be normal Christianity. This is Paul crying out, and he says this in verse 7 of Philippians 3. But whatever gain I had, he's talking about earthly accomplishments, whatever gain I had, education that he had, family background that he had, I count it as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And this has got to be the cry of our hearts, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Here's the thing. I love how Paul says, I just want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. Is that the desire of your heart? Because God wants us to grow. I'm grateful for the growth that he has brought about in our lives. But our hearts must always stay in this posture of, God, I just want to know you. I just want to grow in my relationship with you. Tear away anything in me that's of me. Make me more like your son, Jesus. I wanted to end our time together just in a time of sitting and listening to the song that the worship team is going to lead us in. It's going to sing for us. And I want you to stay seated. And as they sing the song, you guys can go ahead and make your way up. As they sing this song, I just want you to allow the Holy Spirit to bring to mind ways that you have grown, ways that he has been at work in your life. Most of all, be thankful for the cross, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, that your life has been rescued by Jesus. But your life also, most importantly, needs to be lived for Jesus, for his glory and his glory alone. And so as I was listening to this song last night, I just felt led that we just need to sit and just to receive these words and just to allow the depths of our soul to be filled with gratitude for all that Jesus has done. So let's just listen to these words and allow the Holy Spirit to speak.